you've got in a redevelopment, and I think you're going to get, you know, high-end structures and dwellings, and I think that's important to give the developer the flexibility to build something. And I, again, it's not out of character with some of the other structures that are in the area. So I thought that given the plans that were submitted, given the character of the area, given the fact that we have one side, the open space of the river, I think that the height since
it go off?
The 42 to the flat roof is appropriate given the character of the area.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else have a call to be heard?
Dina, you got to turn your mic on.
Is this only questions about the development property?
No, it's anything. It's open public comment period.
I got a comment. Drew Miller, 16 Church Street.
Hi, Drew.
Thanks, Brian. Well, two things. One, the height of 42 feet, I'm also concerned about. I understand what the previous caller was saying about residential and commercial. So I have a reservation on the height as well, living on Church Street. I don't have any issue if they want to have the structures lower than 38 feet. I have no issue. Higher, I question. I don't see why they need to be higher. I understand the redevelopment zone. So I take a pause. I am in favor of the redevelopment. The height, I have some reservation. That's number one, so just so you hear me. Number two, my main issue tonight, though, is the basketball court that wasn't finished by the ocean. I know that the pad was poured, it's unlevel, it wasn't done properly, but what really makes me sad is there's nothing there. There's no finished product. And I believe that Seabright secured the money for the basketball courts. My question is, I don't know of any town or borough that provides nothing for our kids except Seabright. That makes me very sad. These kids have been, unfortunately, pent up for a while with not much to do, not much that we provide them. It's sad. You have to think about it. When you were a kid, most likely I did, and I'm assuming many of you went outside and played. Today it's a little bit different. They got the video games and everything. We need to provide, though, for our kids a safe and healthy alternative. Basketball is absolutely critical and essential. They can get outside, they can run around, they can play organized sport. We have people in our town that would step up and take over and even provide some organized sport. So the basketball court has always been very sad for me that I have to look at a makeshift court that's 6 years, 7 years in the parking lot. Whoever poured that pad didn't know what they were doing. I propose that we bring the right people in, that we make our basketball courts not only proficient, but we make them high end for our kids and show them the respect that we care about their health. Maybe we could even put lights so in the summertime we could continue our healthy, that we could provide a healthy alternative and we could have games at night. It could be the premiere. Listen, I bought the shirt, $20, for the skate park that was never built. I'm not complaining about that. I don't have a problem. I got the shirt. The shirt was $20. It's a nice shirt. But now we have the opportunity to finish what we started, but do it the right way. Let's have some really nice courts for our kids.
Hey, thanks for your and also, in the same vein, that's one of the reasons why we're also preserving the Old Borough Hall, too, so we can reclaim that. That used to be, you know, as you know, years ago, that was a half court also, so we're going to reclaim that as a rec center, so I'm glad we didn't sell that off at any point either. So, you know, we would agree with you on that. And I'm sorry, was that Kevin? Were you going to comment?
Yeah, no, Drew, I just want to let you know that I did just ask about this a couple weeks ago because I noticed that the pad had been poured and that it was, you know, that we were supposed to be putting them in. And I was told that we're supposed to be putting them in the basketball hoops in and backboards in sometime this fall. I don't know the exact date, but I know it's supposed to be happening shortly. Well, no, but I will also bring up the fact that, you know, the what was poured is unlevel. I'll see what we can do about that.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, Mayor. Does Joe know? I mean, Joe's on the call. Joe Verrone, do you have an update on that?
Yes. We didn't put up the hoops because of the summer season, COVID, et cetera. The Public Works Department is ordering the hoops. They'll be put up shortly. The leveling nature, it was never going to be or intended to be a competitive court. It was always just to shoot some hoops. The county came in and put in the basketball, the blacktop area, and they graded it so it would drain properly. It was not an official court, but Public Works is ordering the hoops and the backboards, and we'll have it striped, and the youngsters can go and shoot hoops, and that's what we were hoping for all the time, but never intended to be a competitive playing surface.
Competitive or not competitive, these kids play basketball. They look up to these NBA players. If you can't dribble the ball because it's so poorly constructed, no one's going to play there. So I don't necessarily see it as competitive NBA style, but I think it needs to be efficient. It needs to be done right. Of course it could have draining, but it can't be so undulated that you can barely bounce a ball on it. I would urge every council member to go and look at that and see for yourself, because it's really not done very well. And I think that we should bring in the people that know how to do it. It's not that difficult. It's just not done right. So why do it halfway when you have all the opportunity to do it the right way?
I'd like to just speak on the basketball court. I've talked to Joe Verrone about it. Like Drew, and his son who plays basketball, I'm a lover of basketball, and we have a really nice location there. We could put lights on the side of the pavilion, so there could be some night basketball being played. I think if the whole council agrees that we should put a pause on our DPW ordering the hoops, because that sounds like a mistake right there. And we should get together and see if there is a way that we can do this properly, because Drew is right. You're not going to come and play on a court if you have half a game. You don't have to be, like, really good, but if you're decent, you want to play on a court where, you know, the court's not working against you, where one side, a corner shot is 11 feet high, and then on the other corner, it's 9 feet high. You know, it's supposed to be 10 feet from each corner. So I think that we should put a little bit of a pause on the court if we all agree and get it done properly. So, you know, we look the right way, which is what we're trying to do in Seabright.
Yeah, and Charlie, to embellish on what you're saying, I appreciate everything you're saying. And I also agree that why not have the courts where our kids are excited about it? Is that such a crime? You know, when you were a kid, you went on those courts, you're like, wow, this is great. Can't wait to play. How can you expect our kids to enjoy it if they can't dribble the ball because the ground is so uneven? So if we have to pause it, as far as I'm concerned, it never got going. But I'd like to see it done the right way.
Yeah, this is Mark.
Thanks for the comment, Travis.
I did not realize it was as bad as Drew and Charlie are describing it. If it is, if you can't even dribble the ball on it, what's the point? So I agree with Charlie 100%. Let's put a pause on it and let's make sure it gets done correctly. I don't want to do a half-assed job after everything that we've done that's been right.
But at the same time, I would also say regarding
Drew's comment is to take his advice, and I think everyone should go over, just take a look at it this week, and just make sure if you haven't looked at it close, you know, because we have had a lot of construction in the town over the last 5 years, so it's easy to overlook something like that, so I'd take Drew's advice on that. Just check it out firsthand.
Thank you, and also, maybe if we take a pause, we could also, you know, reevaluate, like you said, but then also put a timetable on it. So let's not kick it down the road where it doesn't even get done. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much for hearing me.
Oh, Drew, thanks. Anyone else on the call like to be heard?
Dina Long.
Dina's yeah, my name is Joe Dulce.
Dina
Long, she spoke first. Dina, you just want to give us your address for the record?
Sure, Dina Long, 20 U Street. And I've got a couple of things. Hello, how's everybody? I would like to make a factual correction to the discussion of the Seabright zoning standards. There was a portion read to us from an earlier in the meeting, but I wanted to read the rest of the ordinance, which is chapter 130.50 C, which states for lot and building requirements that in no case shall the maximum allowable height exceed 38 feet in building height. The height limitation of 38 feet may be increased to a height not to exceed 42 feet only upon demonstration by the applicant that the additional height is necessary to allow an existing building to reach 3 feet above BFE. So I'd like to be accurate and precise when we're talking about the Seabright zoning. As you probably are aware, participating in this meeting this evening, because I'm a resident of the downtown, because I will be directly impacted by this redevelopment plan that is on the agenda tonight, I'm here to express my concern about the bulk use standards that you are about to introduce. I do understand the tremendous public benefits that are going to be realized as a result of this project, the bulkhead, the river walk, etc. But the trade-offs for the people who live in the neighborhood are a lot. Don't forget that all of us purchased our homes before there were any amenities on the riverfront. After Sandy, as you know, we all had significant damage to our homes. We reinvested in the town, and in many cases, some of us knocked down our old houses and built new storm-proof ones. I personally know how much work went into developing the new building codes that were put into place after Sandy. I also believe that as a matter of principle, everyone should follow the same rules. These rules stipulate that for new construction, the maximum building height is 38 feet, only to be exceeded if you're elevating an existing structure out to be 3 feet above BFE. Unfortunately, the bulk use standards in the redevelopment plan, as spelled out on page 14, are not consistent with this standard. It allows a building height of 42 with accessory structures that can go up to 52 feet, a full story over everybody else, plus roof decks. If you look at accessory uses that are specified on page 17. I am respectfully requesting that you please revisit these bulk use standards in the redevelopment zone and that you please make them consistent with the other single family homes that are in Seabright. You may point out that tonight is not the public hearing. I get that. Tonight is only the introduction. But I also understand that you cannot make major changes to an ordinance after it's introduced. 17 years sitting in your chairs taught me that. So I'm asking you, please do not be cavalier with our future. You are literally shaping the downtown and the western side of Seabright. So thank you so much for hearing me out. And thank you so much for the time that you give to service for our borough. Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. Is there anyone else in the call who would like to be heard?
Hi, yes. My name is Joe Dulce. I live at 41 Waterview Way. I'm a new Seabright resident, so this is all entertaining. I just have a quick question if I can get something accomplished on my street. I live on the corner of North and Waterview Way, and we bought in July, and it's come to my realization over the time that many cars come down looking for Sandy Hook and then make either the GPS or they don't get into the right lane, and then they come down Waterview Way and make that right towards the river, thinking that there's an outlet, and then they're doing K-turns in the right on that section of North Street and Waterview Way. There's a telephone pole right at the corner, and right opposite of it is a fire hydrant, and I could tell that many times the telephone pole has been hit, and I think the fire hydrant has either been closed or been scraped up from time to time, and I have a feeling that it's a hazard. And I spoke to a few people. I'm talking about 10 cars a day it happened to over the summer. And I spoke to a few people when they're turning around, and they said that on the GPS it was showing that it was an outlet and that they could turn and go through and get back towards Sandy Hook. And I'm hoping that maybe we can put I know there's a dead end sign. It's pretty small. I know we don't want to take up a lot of use of the area, but I was hoping that we could put up a no outlet sign so that we can avoid people from coming down and causing, hitting the telephone pole, causing accidents, especially since it's a very tight and narrow way. You have multiple cars trying to do K-turns in this little area, and if they have a large SUV, they get very close to hitting our fence and the neighbor's fences and et cetera. So I was hoping that maybe we can have civil engineers take a quick look, or somebody, or DPW take a quick look and see what they can do to try to prevent that.
Yeah, Joe, we can do that. Thanks for giving us a heads up on that. And I guess Kevin heads the PW committee. So, Kevin, you want to maybe speak to Public Works about that and see if that's an option to add?
I'll take a walk down there and take a look at what we have to do. And I'll have Dave and Sean take a look as well, see if there's anything we can do down there. They may have some ideas.
I appreciate it. Right. Thank you for your time and volunteership.
All right, Joe, welcome to the town. Thanks.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Thanks, Kevin. Anybody else on the call would like to be heard? All right, just a quick announcement that the council is in receipt of the 2019 municipal audit. We can move on now to the consent agenda. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to approve the items that are on our consent agenda?
Mayor, I just had one edit to the consent agenda. On resolution number 175-2020, the caption, I had not noticed the caption when I read it originally. The caption just says rescinding redeveloper designation for lots 2, 3, and 4 in Block 15. The resolution also rescinds the redevelopment district itself. So I just want to recaption that to be rescinding the redevelopment district and the redeveloper designation for lots 2, 3, and 4 in Block 15, just so that the caption makes sense and meets what the resolution actually does. So with that, that amendment, I would make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
All right, Mark, thanks. Anyone like to second that with the amendment?
Second, Kevin. I'll second it.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Councilmember Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
All right, that agenda's been approved. On to ordinances. Ordinance number 9-2020, an ordinance amending Chapter 130, Land Use, Article 9, Design Standards for Specific Uses of the Code of the Borough of Seabright to establish bulkhead maintenance regulations. Would anyone like to make a motion to open the public hearing on ordinance 9-2020?
I'll make that motion.
Kevin, second.
Thanks, Kevin. Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
All right, would anyone like to be heard on ordinance 9-2020? Anyone on the call like to be heard? All right, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll make that motion.
All right, Mark.
I'll second it.
Thanks, Sam. Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Lexstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
All right, public hearing is closed on that.
So, Mr. Mayor, just so the council knows, I know we're waiting to adopt that based upon the planning board's review. At the last planning board meeting, not all the planning board members had actually read the ordinance, so they asked that it be carried at the planning board to the next meeting. So I understand that we're going to be actually voting on the ordinance for adoption on October 20th.
All right, Mark, thanks.
No problem.
All right, we are on to ordinance 10-2020. An ordinance amending the code of the borough of Seabright to adopt the redevelopment plan for the property known as Shrewsbury River Properties, blocks 13, lots 13, 14, 15, 18, 20, 21, and 22, block 14, lots 12 and 14, and block 15, lots 5, 8, 10, and 12. Would
so
anyone
Mr.
like
Mayor,
to make a
before we do that, Mr. Mayor, everyone should have received in their email tonight a memo from Christine Caffone. There was an omission in the original plan that we have before us, in that there was no actual requirement within the plan that you had to stick to what was proposed to us, which were the four single family uses, 15 condominium uses, and 25 townhome uses, which of course is what we sold the public and was presented in all of the public hearings that we had, the town hall meetings. So that was not in the plan. It somehow escaped us. It should have been in the plan because, God forbid, under the current version of the plan, they could come in and they could just build a ton of townhomes, just build a ton of condos if they wanted, because those are all permitted uses. We would all have our heads up in nooses if the developer came in to do that and we adopted that. That's not what any of us had talked about, but that we wanted. So Christine has adopted amendment language, which basically says, and I'll read it verbatim, building mixture. This addendum requires the following exact building mixture: 25 townhouse uses, four single family uses, and 15 condominium units. So with that amendment, we'll actually get what everyone believes we are voting on and what we told everyone we were going to be voting on. So I would like that included in any introduction of the ordinance. So I'm going to make a motion, and we can have a second if anyone else wants to discuss what we discussed earlier with the public discuss. But I'm going to make a motion for now just to amend the plan before we introduce it to include that building mixture.
And Councilman Lexstein, if anybody has the plan in front of you, if you look on page 16 of the plan that we did, it's exactly the building mixture that you have. And there's other governors in there with respect to density, but I wanted to just make it abundantly clear that that is what, and it should have been in there the first time, that unit mix spelled out other than on the plan. So it's no change or nothing different than what you saw previously. The only thing this does is it reduces to numbers what you see graphically on page 16 of the plan, so that on a go-forward basis, if the developer that we've been speaking to disappears and we don't want to be left as a borough with exposure for somebody else to come in and do a different program. So it really just reduces down numerically what you have contemplated all along on page 16 of the plan.
All right, Christine and Mark, thank you for that clarification and the amendment. So would you like to proceed with
it? Yeah, I'm making a motion to add Christine's proposed language into the plan.
All right, so you're adding that amendment to the motion to introduce ordinance 10-2020.
Right, I'm not sure if I'm introducing the ordinance yet because I don't know if other people want to talk about what we talked, what the public just talked about. Yeah. I don't want to jump the gun, but I just want to make sure that
now is the time to discuss it, Council. If you want to discuss this one,
well, this is Kevin. I will say that I've been against anything over 38 feet down that area since the beginning of this. Ever since when I first came on council and heard about it. You know that the original plan was much higher than this. I was willing to capitulate to 42 feet just to get this out in front of the public, to stop kicking the can back and forth between us internally. And now that the public has gotten a hold of it, we can tell that they're all right there with this in the same boat as I am. That, you know, a lot of these folks down here do not, and I live here myself, in the downtown area myself, so a lot of these folks do not want anything over 38 feet. I'm in the process of putting an addition on my house myself. I have an existing house that I am putting an addition on, and I stuck to the 38 feet. And that includes the handrails on my rooftop deck. So, you know, my flat floor is only at 34 feet or 35 feet, whatever it is. So I stayed underneath the 38 feet, which is, you know, which is within variances. So I think these properties should as well. That's just my two cents there.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Anyone else want to speak to this? There was a reference earlier to the 52-foot reference and how, you know, elevators and so forth could go above the either 38 or 42-foot height. And did I misunderstand? Could a deck actually go that high, up to 52 feet, or was that my
From what I read in the plan, Brian, it says that the deck floor would be 42 feet, and then it would allow for any additional necessary mechanical structures or anything like that to go up to 52 feet above that. So I did have a concern there as well in regards to making sure that the wording in that 52 foot, accepted usage thing sticks with our ordinance, which is, I believe it's within that 130, 150 ordinance that Dina mentioned earlier. And it is the, I had it earlier, where was it? It is 130-50A2, and it states chimneys, ventilators, skylights, television and radio antennas and similar accessory features situated on or above the roof level may exceed the height limitations of this chapter but by not more than 15 feet. Electromechanical apparatuses, however you say that, and cupolas, domes and other architectural features used for decorative purposes shall not be habitable and shall not exceed the height limitations of this chapter by more than 4 feet. So I'm not sure where elevator shafts fall in that description, or staircase doorways fall in with that description, but I think we should stick within that, that same wording in that regard as well.
All right, Kevin, anybody else want to comment to that or have any questions? All right, well, let's see. Mark, did you make the motion to introduce this ordinance 10-2020 with the amendment, or is there any more language you want to add to that?
I am...
Councilor-elect, I just wanted to point out, though, because I don't want there to be any confusion. This is a redevelopment plan. So on page 29 of this redevelopment plan, there's a provision that states the redevelopment plan shall supersede all provisions of the zoning and development regulations. So the height definition that I read earlier came from one section of the ordinance. The section, I think it's 130-3. And then the section that Ms. Long read was section 130-50. This redevelopment plan would have its own mechanism for the rooftop appurtenances, which is on page 17, and those exclusions. So if we don't have a comfort level with how it's written in on page 17 of the redevelopment plan, then that's something that we should consider and look at, because the way the redevelopment plan is drafted right now, in my opinion, it would supersede that existing section 130-50, which is also a different section of the ordinance that deals with height. So I read the definition of height in earlier from section 130-5 of the ordinance. 130-50 has the section that talks about 38 feet being the maximum height and then some of those other exclusions. The redevelopment plan has on page 17 a section guarding rooftop appurtenances, including architectural features, which I hear you on the deck, and this plan in no way intended for a deck to go above that flat roof. Not the language of this plan, it was not the intent, and in my interpretation of this plan, it would not be permissible. The additional height was for things like the elevator shops, cupolas, and things like that. So if we're not comfortable with the language as it's written on page 17 in the redevelopment plan, specifically the first bullet under height, then maybe we want to look at that, because it is a little different than section 130-50 of your ordinance, and this redevelopment plan has language in it that specifically supersedes your zoning ordinance. So I want everybody to be abundantly clear on what we're considering.
So Christine, one thing that I could, from what I saw in the proposed plan that they put up in regards to this property, is at least the three single family homes at the end of Surf Street and New Street that they're planning on putting there. I know from their plans that all three of them had rooftop decks at the very top level. So that would tell me that, and they all also had pergola up there, like, pergola coverings over, like a pergola deck thing in the center of the building. As well as the elevator shafts and everything like that. So I think that they're planning on putting, rooftop decks up there. So I don't think that 42 feet is where their rooftop deck starts. So you're talking handrails going above that level. You're talking pergola. You're talking whatever deck furniture and, rooftop gardens, et cetera. I mean, and, from the description in that, on page 14, it also says mezzanine, bulkhead, stairs, parapets. I mean, that's a lot of stuff that could go up there that could add to the amount of space being blocked above 42 feet, the amount of visibility being blocked above 42 feet. And now you're going up to 52 feet, and that's just way too much.
Well, again, like I said, I think that there's a perception that some of the structures in the downtown perhaps are lower than they are. So, this is the plan that was put forth. It does have rooftop decks on it. The height of the flat to the flat roof is 42 feet, and there are exclusions as written into the redevelopment plan. So, if you're not comfortable with that, then I think you have to look at some of these things in the plan. I personally, from a planning point of
view, for the four residences, then you it would be, as it's written now, it would be 42 feet to the deck, and then there would be railings above that. Is that?
It would
correct?
Be 42 feet to the flat roof. So 42 feet to the flat roof.
And the railings are roughly what, 3-4 feet? I forget what code is.
Yeah, they could be 36 to 42 feet. 36 to 42 inches.
Feet.
So, what are your thoughts on that? I know that was a discussion earlier. I mean, I wasn't looking at this having rooftop decks. I didn't realize that, honestly, in the, with the residences.
I'd like to make a motion to introduce it, and let's vote on it. I'd like to make a motion to introduce the ordinance 10-2020. Anybody seconding?
With my amendment?
With your amendment.
Thank you, sir. I'll second it with as long as my amendment's in there, I will second the motion.
All right, so we're going to go to roll call. Council members, Birdsall?
No.
Catalano?
Yes.
Lextine?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Forbes?
Yes.
All right, so the motion, the ordinance has been introduced. On to new business under vouchers in the amount of $594,206.20. Would anyone
Mayor,
like to make a motion?
Mayor, we should announce that the public hearing on the ordinance is going to be October 20th.
All right, thanks, Mark.
No problem.
Yeah, good call. So on to vouchers. $594,206.20. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve this voucher list?
So moves, Kevin.
I'll second.
All right, Kevin and Sam. Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Eckstein?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
All right, so the voucher list is approved. All right, we're on to mayor and council committee comments. I can take it off quickly with a few brief updates, and then I'll ask the council to do the same for their respective committees. Just a reminder, everybody, you should receive your ballot in the mail. So there, you know, your ballot does have instructions on it. We also have information on the borough website. You, of course, can mail it in. You can drop it off at one of the collection sites. We have a local one in Rumson or Duke Day of the collection. But just want to make sure everyone is aware that if you're registered in Seabra, you should have received your ballot by now. There's also an update, if anyone is taking little ones out for Halloween, the State Department of Health just released some basic guidelines. A lot of it's common sense, but nonetheless, you know, if you're a parent or guardian, you want to just take some guidance. We posted that to our borough website also, just for safe trick-or-treating, et cetera, in the season. The update on the cell tower, I spoke to our consultant, and they have received their permit to construct the somewhat elevated permanent cell tower with the additional carrier. So they also have a general contractor, so they're just basically getting all the POs in order, and then sometime in the very near future, they should be reconstructing that cell tower, adding about 10 feet to it, along with T-Mobile. And then once that construction is done, they will remove the temporary tower just to the east of that. So that's some progress. And of course, it did, you know, we had the service this summer, throughout the summer with the temporary tower, and we also generated revenue. So when all is said and done with the current carriers, we should be in the neighborhood of 100K plus for revenue, but more importantly, better service. Also, just with the season is definitely over now. We extended our beach season a little bit, but you know, we were very cautious with all our openings and with our planning, but we were also very successful. So, you know, I believe we had paid parking came in at well over 650,000, around 662,000. And then the beach revenue, which was, of course, above average, also came in at about 1.21 million. And none of that was easy. A lot of hard work by all the committee's employees and volunteers and so forth. So I just wanted to say thanks to everybody. But considering the pandemic, we had a very successful, we managed to keep everything open and pretty safely. So with all that said, if there's anyone on the council who would also like to speak to their committees, just state your name if you don't mind, and then speak freely.
This is John Schwartz about the beach. I think you're right. We had a record year, and we should be proud of everybody that works at the beach. I think that Don runs a really good ship, and he's got a lot of good employees under him. There were some few inefficiencies because it was the first year we've had like double the business, but I think for the most part, we should be really proud of him. And on the finance, I sent you guys a copy of Mike's response to the audit about getting rid of the interfunds and closing out the loan by the end of the year so we can do our bonds. He can speak to that if he wants. That's all I got.
All right, thanks, John. Anyone else?
This is Chris, Brian. Are we going to have the parade? That was asked of me the other day. I didn't know.
It's a good question. I'm not aware of it. Has it been planned? Mayor, I guess the fire department would know. Anybody from our rec committee know?
Yeah, Mayor, I'm not on the rec committee, but I spoke with Don Klein, and I know Don Klein is trying very hard to make the parade happen with proper social distancing, so we don't have any issues. So it's my understanding that we will be having it, and there should be, but Chris, it hasn't been officially announced yet, so I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but I do believe it is going to happen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I won't say until it's announced. You know. Okay.
Anyone on the council want to speak to their committees? Any other updates? Comments? That's a wrap. All right. I don't believe we have, Joe, we don't have any agenda items for executive session, correct?
I do not, sir.
All right, great. So, with that being said, I guess somebody can make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, council members of Burnsville.
All in favor, right?
Lexine?
Yes.
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
All right, meeting adjourned. Have a great night.